We're joined now by author Jennifer Woodleaf. She recently published a new book about a particularly disastrous climbing accident in the Tetons. The book is called A Bolt from the Blue, and it describes the accident and the ensuing rescue operation. So Jennifer, without giving too much away, tell us about this accident.
Well, it was an absolutely phenomenal rescue, one of the most sensational ones in the history of American mountaineering. It was a group of 13 amateur climbers who were trying to summit the Grand Teton in 2003. They were struck by a single bolt of lightning late in the afternoon in late July, and what ensued at that point was just a phenomenal rescue by the Jenny Lake Park Rangers, who had to come in short-hauling, hanging 100 feet from a rope at the bottom of a helicopter, inserting themselves into the scene at the top of a mountain 13,000 feet plus in the midst of a storm and save everybody that they could.
What made you want to write this book?
I think that the rescue heroes of Jenny Lake are some of the most phenomenal men in the country in terms of their ability to be selfless and heroic, but completely shun the limelight. It was actually difficult to get some of them to talk to me because they do not want press attention or any kind of accolades for what they do. They're just doing their job and saving people. And in this case, one of the rangers told me he didn't think it would be a good story because it was such a flawless rescue. And I said, in fact, I thought that was what would make it an amazing story. And the history of their training and everything that got them to that point to work together as a team was what made this just an absolutely phenomenal situation.
Right, and much of the book obviously centers around these rangers, these rescue heroes, as you called them, and these are, of course, the Jenny Lake Climbing Rangers, and these are not your typical park rangers. Tell us a little bit about them.
They're not. They do have some park duties as well, and they do have some law enforcement duties, a few of them, but for the most part, they have specialized training in high-altitude rescue, in climbing rescues, hiking accidents. They have an absolutely amazing short-haul program, which I referenced earlier, where they get themselves inserted into the scene, dangling from a helicopter so that they can reach into places that are treacherous or extremely sheer that they might otherwise would take them hours to climb to. The helicopter pilot can actually just drop them into the scene. They can put the victims into a basket or hang them with them on the short-haul line and get them out to the hospital much quicker. So they have unbelievably amount of specialized training, EMT training. It's a really rigorous training program, and they're some of the best climbers in the world.
How did you get them to talk to you? I mean, as you said, they don't tend to like a lot of attention, but yet you got a lot of detail about sort of their everyday duties, their lives, and of course about this rescue. You obviously managed to get a lot of information about them, which I can imagine took many hours of interviews. What sort of finally made them say, okay, I'm willing to talk?
It did. I tend to over-interview and interview more people than I need and then end up over-researching and cutting at the end. But here, I had a little bit of credibility due to a guy named Lanny Johnson, who was a ski patrolman in my second book, which is about an avalanche in Lake Tahoe. And he had been a Jenny Lake Park Ranger long before this accident. So he gave me the first initial introductions. That sort of opened the door. And then from then, I had to prove myself in terms of I gave them copies of my previous book so that they could see that I would treat action-adventure stories with a level of respect and sensitivity, that I wrote about tragedies not in a way to sensationalize them, but just to tell the story straight out. So I think that helped. And then a couple of them were still reluctant, and I actually had Rennie Jackson help me ambush one of the rangers. He kept ducking my calls and didn't want to meet, and Rennie said, well, I'll take care of this for you. And he got on the radio, and he said, you know, Jack, report right now to the rescue cache. And I think he thought it was a rescue in progress, and he showed up, and there I was. And he's like, oh. So he ended up having to, talk to me. And he spent 3 or 4 hours with me and was absolutely wonderful and charming and extraordinarily helpful.
Well, that's quite a way to get somebody to talk to you. Looking sort of at the other side of the picture here, your book doesn't just follow the rangers. It paints a pretty detailed picture of what happened to the climbers, from their point of view. I can imagine that must have been hard interviewing these climbers and sort of asking them to revisit what must be very traumatic memories. How did that go?
It certainly was. I mean, they're faced with almost an impossible choice, and I realize that I'm putting them in it, and I try to be as absolutely as supportive and sensitive as possible. Their choice is sort of to either relive the worst time of their life or to risk me getting it wrong or maybe even worse, sort of leaving it out. And I think in the end, they determined that they did want readers to get to know sort of their loved ones and themselves and what it was like for them. And everybody always ends up in the course of talking wanting to almost finding it cathartic to talk about the entire event. But I did get extraordinarily lucky that everybody I approached was willing to talk to me.
What lessons do you want readers to take away from this book? I mean, obviously, this isn't really an instance where the climbers were unprepared or where they did something particularly wrong. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong weather, but that could sort of happen to anybody. So what's sort of the takeaway message?
Well, I don't think there's any sort of like, you know, tips for what to do. I mean, all things being equal, it was probably a little bit later in the day than they should have been on the mountain. And they had realized that, actually, and they were in the process of retreating down the mountain. They had to climb up Friction Pitch to go down, but they were doing that. They had abandoned their summit quest and had made a decision that safety was more important, which I think is definitely a takeaway here, that there wasn't summit fever and they had to reach the peak at all costs. They had done the right thing in terms of that. They just got extraordinarily unlucky with to being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I think had it happened any place else in the country or even in the world, they might not have got so lucky with the rescue crew that they had. And I don't think there's any particular tips there. These guys were absolutely phenomenal. And the description of the rescue and the timing and the tightness with darkness closing in and the helicopter needing to be grounded within moments is just an absolutely spectacular story.
Now I have to ask, are you a climber?
I did some very beginning climbing just to get a little bit of credibility, mostly in the Tahoe area, so that I could know some of the terminology and get a little bit of credibility that way. But no, I'm not. And I did get some pushback at the beginning that a non-climber can't write about climbing. So far what I've heard is that I did, in fact, end up nailing the climbing sections.
All right. Well, Jennifer, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.